It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnisch and Ryan Wallace.
Whoever's hot, that's going to win, because I think the teams are awash now. It's the two hot goalies. Which one's going to win?
Hurdle shorthanded in double OT. San Jose forces a game seven. Can you believe it?
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, Game 7 tonight up in San Jose. Frank Harnisch, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Garrett Judge is sitting in the hot seat as Chris Chapman is up in the Bay Area. We'll be joined by him in just a bit. But nothing more exciting in any sport, they say, than a Game 7 in Stanley Cup playoffs. And certainly we have, several of them this season, but tonight is the one up in San Jose. The Vegas Golden Knights, do they continue on to take on the Colorado Avalanche, or does the season end tonight?
I've been waiting for a moment like this for almost two seasons now. It's the first Game 7 in Golden Knights history. I mean,
that was that song or something like that? Is that a play on words there? Was that what that was?
Well, yes.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that, too.
You don't know Kelly Clarkson?
I know of Kelly Clarkson.
Okay, well, that was Kelly Clarkson.
Okay. I don't listen to Kelly Clarkson, but I know of her.
You have such a problem with some of the music that we play on
the show. I don't say I had a problem with it. I just said I didn't know it. Just because I don't know something doesn't mean I have a problem with it.
It's not about not knowing it. You're allowed to not know it. That's fine.
And I don't.
But
that's all I said.
What the audience doesn't see is the look on your face when you try to talk about music that you cannot stand.
I didn't say I couldn't stand
it.
I could tell. I don't know it.
We know you don't like it.
Yeah, you think you can tell.
No. I can. I've been in this seat long enough. I know.
But you stand, so you're lying.
Oh, God. Okay.
I think you're wrong.
There it is.
So that's Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
Okay. What's the name of the song?
Moment Like This is the name of the song.
Okay. Thrilling.
Well done, Jared. Well Great. Done. Well, Chris Chapman's going to call in at some point, I guess. I don't know. I can't get a hold of him. Wonder what he's doing up in San Jose right now.
Yeah, maybe he's at Stanford again.
Yeah, maybe.
He could be. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Several game sevens going on in this playoff series. Another team did clinch last night. With Dallas continuing the lower seed version in the West, can Vegas make it a clean sweep of the lower seeds where in the first round every lower seed would win should Vegas win tonight?
I think that this game is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. You want to see what kind of energy both teams have going into it. I look at game sevens, and traditionally they have a tendency of being letdowns in a series. I mean, there are times where the games are close, the hockey's really exciting, and it's just kind of a fluky play that ends it. And then there are situations, there are times where you get blowouts. And you know, for the sake of this series and how good the hockey has been and how close these two teams are, I don't know that I want to see a team blow the other out. I simply want to see a very close hockey game. I want to see both teams giving everything that they've got, playing within their systems, and you go from there. You know, you look at it as 60 minutes to prove once and for all that you're better than San Jose if you're Vegas, or you're better than Vegas if you're San Jose.
Right. Now, do you think tonight will be a close game? Because although this is going to a seventh game and the teams are tied at 3-3, outside of the last game with the double overtime winner, the games haven't been close. They've all been multiple goal wins. A 5-0 game in there, 5-3, I mean, it's 6-3, 5-2s. The games haven't necessarily been close on the scoreboard.
My thought process heading into Game 7 is this. It's going to end up being one of two things happening, and it seems like a cop-out on my part, but it's really not. I think the first 5 minutes are going to dictate how this game goes. If both teams get through that first hurdle unscathed, so no score, I think both teams are going to settle in. They're not necessarily going to push the pace that much. They're not going to be hyper-aggressive because so much is at stake in this game. I think just they're going to settle into very comfortable, very risk-averse hockey, And then you're going to get a very close game because of it. I think it's going to come down to just one goal. It'll probably be something of a fluky nature, and that's just going to be the way that it is. However, whichever team pounces first, whichever team scores within that first 5 minutes, I think they're going to sense that the series is in danger of being closed out, and they're going to jump on the other team. That's just the sense that I get from this game. It's the first 5 minutes, we've talked about it, have been so crucial in all of these games. The longer you go without scoring, I think the closer this game's going to be.
All right, once again, you can also join us over at Lindo Michoacan, Desert Inn just east of Eastern. We'll be there at 6:30 with the pregame show. Then at 7 o'clock, we'll turn it over to Dan Duva and Gary Lawless for first period action, Game 7 from the SAP Center up in San Jose. Let's go up there right now with Chris Chapman and see how things are going. Chris, how you doing up there? I guess you're enjoying some vegan food from what I understand.
Yeah, Frank, you're really missing out, man. It was really good. I mean, I'll be honest, the bacon wasn't exactly my favorite, and I was nervous about the mac and cheese because I'd had vegan cheese before and I wasn't crazy about it. But that mac and cheese was awesome to go on top of that burger, and the dessert. Oh man, I mean, you can't even. The dessert was amazing. The s'mores pie, one of the best pieces of pie I've ever had in my life.
I've never steered you wrong, Chris. I've never steered you wrong. It's always been to success, right?
Yeah. I mean, the time we went for the Impossible Burger, I was happy about that, and this was even better than that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, Chris, there's been a war of words, and this series has been no stranger to the war of words between players. We've had Ryan Reeves and Evander Kane going back and forth. We had, famously, Jonathan Marchessault in the penalty box in the last game with a few choice words for Logan Couture. But not to be outdone by their players, the coaches have weighed in on various aspects of this series. And we're going to play a couple of clips of audio, then I want to get your take on it, Chris. First off, Pete DeBoer and his comments about Gerard Gallant chirping players.
I mean, there's still chatter. You know, their coach is chattering. He's probably doing the most chatter. He's talking to our players constantly during the game, which I haven't seen before. So that's probably where most of the chatter is coming from now. The players are playing.
Ford's Logan.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
All right, Chris. And then it was brought up to Gerard Gallant today, and he had this to say.
Your good name as far as being the guy chirping the Sharks?
I really don't want to talk about that, but I think I'm going to have to a little bit because, you know, for that clown to say that in the paper yesterday, it's not right. There might have been two incidents that happened, and I'll tell you both of the incidents. Logan Couture, I thought it was an embellishment, so I'm yelling at the referee. Logan Couture. The other one, game two, Evander Kane's yelling at Ryan Reed between the bench. And Evander yells at me, he said, "Hey coach, when are you going to send your big guy out in the ice and play him more than 4 minutes?" And I said, "He's played 10 minutes every game and he's going to play a lot more." So them are the two times. If I'm going to be a chirper and a loudmouth, I think people know me as a coach and respect me as a coach. And if he's going to yap it with that, that's a little unclassy for me.
All right, Chris. So here's the question. A couple things to point out. I love that Gerard Gallant says he doesn't want to talk about this and then goes off and starts talking about it. And then the fact that he is addressing his chirping by calling Pete DeBoer a clown, in essence, chirping DeBoer, was just fantastic to me. So what's your take on Gerard Gallant and his comments on Pete DeBoer?
Well, you know, it's funny because when I saw the comments yesterday from Pete DeBoer, my initial thought was, I bet you, because let's be honest, Logan Couture, the way he's gone down from both of those high sticks, it looks like he got hit by a car. And I'm not saying that getting hit with the stick in the face doesn't hurt, but to throw his gloves up in the air and the way he skated off the ice in game five, you know, there's definitely some embellishment there. So my initial thought was, I bet Gallant was angry at the ref and he yelled at the ref, and those guys, because that's what they like to do, they twisted it and turned it into Gallant talking about the players. And let's be honest, Ryan, I grew up a New Jersey Devils fan. This isn't the first time Peter DeBoer has had words with coach of another team. Remember, what was it, 2012 when the Rangers and Devils were playing? Him and John Tortorella got into it on the bench. They were yelling back and forth, and I think Pierre Maguire was stuck in the middle. But I thought it was funny the way Gallant handled it because I wanted to ask him, and I would have taken a different approach because my thought process on it was, it seems like it's gotten a little more personal. You know, like you get chippy on the ice, but it doesn't ever really seem to get personal. But I think it was personal with Peter DeBoer making those comments, and I think Gallant took it as such, and he didn't hold back. I mean, he called DeBoer a clown, and he didn't really, you know, he didn't hold back. He said, yeah, the guy's a clown to make those comments. I don't think Gallant was happy about the way, he went to the media about it. And I think that's probably what angered Gallant the most. And if you guys got the Jonathan Marchessault sound that I sent, you'll hear him say something along those lines as well. So just to tease that a little bit. But the words were funny. I mean, I think a lot of us were in there kind of shocked that Gallant handled it the way he did.
So what do you think this does for the Golden Knights heading into Game 7?
I think it kind of fires them up, you know, because you know that all those guys love Coach Gallant. You know the way that they play hard for him. They pardon the cliche, but they'd run through a brick wall for Coach Gallant. And I think those guys take it personally, and I think it really bothers them that Peter DeBoer and Logan Couture, mainly Peter DeBoer, are crying to the media about this. And I think it really angered them, and I think we're going to see those guys. I just hope it doesn't become a distraction, right, where they come out and they're distracted and they take a couple dumb penalties early because they're angry about it. But I think those guys took it to heart, and I think they're taking it personally.
Well, I know a lot of people were saying that the body language and everything after that loss in Game 6, that maybe Vegas looked a little bit defeated, but I know Gallant said that he went home that night, he turned on the TV, and basically after midnight he put it in the rearview mirror and started looking forward. So maybe it is something that fires him up. I'm not really sure that you should need firing up for a Game 7, but if that's what works and gets them back on track, so be it. Let's talk about what's going on the ice, though, because there has been some talk about possible lineup changes in tonight's lineup. Do you have any indication or any hint that we might see something different, or do you think it's going to be the same lineup out there? Because this seems like a risky time to make a change, but if you lose it, it also seems like a risky time to not try something different. I know Gerard Gallant told us yesterday that they were discussing certain things and thinking about it, but what's your gut feeling or what you saw today on the ice or whatever? I know some guys weren't out on the ice, so it's kind of hard to get a real read on what's going to happen tonight.
Well, my gut is there will be a change. However, I don't really know what it's going to be. Going into the series, I figured Ryan Carpenter was probably going to play a little bit of a role in the series, and he hasn't even seen any ice time. He did come off the ice early. However, I'm not going to read too much into that because Cody Eakin was still out on the ice, and I don't think he's coming out of the lineup. So I'm not quite sure what the change would be, if any at all, but my gut tells me there is going to be something different, and to be honest with you, I would not be surprised if it was the guy that I actually interviewed for the pregame show. I won't spoil that, but I would not be shocked.
Chris, do you think Nikita Gusev plays tonight?
No, I don't. I just think I was thinking about it this morning, and I just wonder if a Game 7 on the road in the Stanley Cup playoffs is the opportune time to start a guy who's never played a game in the NHL before. You know, I mean, not to say that the moment's too big for him, because this guy's won a gold medal in the Olympics. He's won a bunch of things in Russia. So it's not like the moment would be too big for him, but for a guy who's never played an NHL game, I think there's still that adjustment period where he'd have to get used to the rink. Maybe there's some things in the game that are a little bit different. I just think it'd be very, very risky if he was the guy who came into the lineup. But then again, it seems like every move these guys make for the last 2 years has been, like, with 99% of the time, it seems like it's the right move. So if they did put Gusev in there tonight, would you be the least bit surprised if he went out and scored a goal?
No, not at all. But that's because I think he's a good offensive player. And for the Golden Knights, only scoring 3 goals in the last 2 games – you might want to look at improving the offense. So,
yeah,
and I'm not suggesting that that's the only play for Gerard Gallant, but with a team that is right now struggling to find the back of the net and knowing this might be your only opportunity to see Gusev in a game before you have to go into restricted free agency with him, I think it just might make a little too much sense to throw him out there and see what he's got.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I think I think it everything you said makes sense. And I just wonder, though, like, do they really want to take the risk? Because we've seen with Valentin Zhiekov, granted, they're completely different players, but it almost seemed like the moment when he played in that Kings game, and granted, the game meant nothing, but remember, he had some key turnovers, and it led to a goal, and I really have a hard time seeing them putting this guy in there in that first game. I mean, it'd be awesome if they did, because I think he could contribute, and maybe that's what they're thinking. Look, if we put this guy in there and we put him in on the power play, maybe we get a little something extra on the power play. Maybe, but I wonder about his defense, and that's where I think Vegas might have a question, because none of us know if he can play the 200-foot game at the NHL level. Now, if you have him out there with Cody Eakin, maybe that helps you a little bit, but I really don't know. I mean, I would love to see it, but I just don't know if it's realistic or not.
Chris Chapman joining us up live from San Jose. Thanks to Subaru of Las Vegas for sending Chris up there. All right, so you were there for the first two games. You were there for the last game when it seemed like the fan base had kind of bailed out. You could get tickets for like $35, $36 on different sites. It looks like that is not going to be the case tonight. What is the sense up there in San Jose? Because it seems like the bandwagon that people were bailing off of, now everybody's back on, and all of a sudden everybody loves the Sharks again up there.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. I mean, they were basically giving tickets away for Game 5, and now all of a sudden their fans are extra talkative, and, you know, they have a lot to say about Coach Gallant, and they have a lot to say about Marchessault. So I do think they are back on the bandwagon. I think it's going to be a really loud building tonight. I think it's going to be extremely, extremely tense, because I think their fans, they know the heartbreak that that team has given them over the years. So I do think it's going to be loud, and I think part of it is because they really don't like Vegas. You still see some of the nonsense about the rules being unfair, and Vegas doesn't deserve to be where they are only because the rules were unfair. So I do think there's a little animosity still, and I think because it is Vegas, it's going to be really, really loud tonight.
Well, at least one thing's nice for them, since apparently they like to cry about a lot of stuff. If they lose, sounds like they'll have some pretty good, nice crying towels, because it seems like their towel game up there is pretty strong.
Yeah, it is. It's Logan Couture tonight, ironically, right, Mr. Oscar? But
are there teeth in every towel?
He's on the crying towel tonight. So, you know, they had Brent Burns, and they had, I think it was Joe Pavelski, and they've had Joe Thornton on the towels, and now tonight it's going to be Logan Couture. So, you know, it's funny that you say the crying towel, and I think maybe let's hope that it does turn into the crying towel, but it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun game, and I think it's going to be a very intense game, and, you know, hopefully those fans do go home with those towels and they're tucking them between their legs.
All right, Chris, last thing from me. Give me one reason the Golden Knights win this game.
Martin Jones? I think, you know, is it too much to ask Martin Jones to play as good as he has in the last two games, a third night in a row against the Golden Knights, a team that's chased him a couple times in this series and a bunch of times in his career? I think if they can get an early goal, they'll rattle San Jose. I think they'll rattle him, and I think it's a really good opportunity for them to maybe get a couple of goals early on if he gets rattled. Because I think, as we've seen, as the game goes on, he seems to play a little bit better and better because his confidence builds up. But I also think that we're going to see a little more from the second line tonight. Now, one thing to keep an eye on, in Game 5, they complained about the ice being in really poor shape because there was a concert the night before and it was very hot. It's about 90 degrees right now in San Jose, which I know is extremely unusual for this time of year. So I would watch the ice tonight and see how that plays out, because it's the hottest it's been since I've been up here, and it's really, really warm out today.
All right. Well, we will see what transpires tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll talk to you tonight in the game as well, as we'll be doing the game 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop, and look forward to your pregame interview, and then, of course, whatever you can get us for the postgame show.
Yeah, and on the bright side, no more trips to San Jose this year, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, well, there you go. All right, Chris, we'll talk to you tonight.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Chris Chapman up in San Jose. thanks to Subaru of Las Vegas for sending Chris up there. We're going to have Shane Pang at the bottom of the hour here from Fear the Fin. He teased the Marshall thing, so I think we should probably play that for people so they can see exactly what he was talking about. Chris did have a chance to speak with Jonathan Marshall earlier.
It's almost as fun as scoring at home. Just hearing crickets after you score, I think it's a great feeling, and can't wait to get it done tonight.
As far as like game seven, I mean, obviously you guys, I'm assuming, live for a game seven, like this kind of a moment. When you're growing up, you always want to play in like a game seven.
Yeah, obviously there's no tomorrow, and it's a great challenge for every hockey player, and they need to face it, and as a group, I think we're ready for it.
Are you familiar, or have you heard the comments that those guys are saying about Coach Gallant? What did you think of them?
Oh, they were just talking about it. I really doubt that Turk was chirping their players on the ice. I don't think he's the kind of guy that does that. And like I said, maybe they're a little sensitive over that. And I mean, we're just if they want to focus on that, that's fine. We're not going to focus on it. And I mean, maybe Turk was upset from the way some of their players handled themselves after, especially when they're down. A couple times there were just a couple dirty plays, stupid hits, and a couple of their players were doing that when they were losing by a lot. So maybe Turk was upset about that, but I mean, I don't see Turk chirping them.
Do you think it kind of crosses a line and gets personal when guys like that are saying things like that?
Well, who cares? Like, it's hockey. Like, if their coach wants to chirp me, I'm going to respond to him. I'm not sensitive about it, and I'm not going to brag about it in the media or something. So, whatever. Life goes on, and we focus on tonight.
You know, it's interesting there because I've heard a lot of oxymorons in my life, but I think sensitive shark might be something new now that's in my mindset here.
Who cares? It's hockey. I love that response.
I just love the whole thing.
From John
who
the
cares?
Marshall.
It's hockey, and they're sensitive. Huh? They're a little. Who cares if he's chirping? So they're a little sensitive.
If a coach chirps me, I'm just going to go about my business, and I'm certainly not going to brag about it in the media. So there's that. That's where Jonathan Marchessault stands on it. It's really fun for everybody else. It's like I can't wait for this series to be over. One way or another, because that handshake line is going to be fantastic.
I really want to see the handshake line.
Well, you're going to see it. I don't know how much of it you're going to see because they might have to cut away from it because there might be a little bit of lingering feelings going on in that lineup. But, I mean, Evander Kane and Ryan Reeves, what's that going to be like? Now, Gerard Gallant, Pete DeBoer, what's that going to be like? I don't expect it to be anything super crazy like
Logan
these guys.
Couture, Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah,
I mean they've had a little bit going on both times.
It's a tradition in hockey, and it's one of the greatest traditions in hockey is that, you know, you go to war with a team for seven games, and whichever team comes out, they're the victors. You line up, you celebrate your victory, you admit your defeat in that moment. But these two teams absolutely hate each other. And it's not like just, you know, hyperbole. Like, these two teams literally hate each other. They do not like anything about each other at all. And it's great. And it's so nice and refreshing to see that in hockey because it hasn't been like this for a while.
If you could see one thing in the handshake line, your ideal scenario, what would it be?
I can't answer that. There's no way I can.
Because something just popped into my mind that I'm going to share. I would love to see, because you know how players today in this day and age, sometimes they'll hide something in their clothes or something? I would love to see Ryan Reeves pull a muffin out and give it to Evander Kane if the Vegas Golden Knights win the game.
Where's he going to hide?
Well, he could go
muffin
to the bench afterwards. It could be on the bench or something like that. He could get it and put it in his glove.
On the bench?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I don't think that works.
There could be a way that it could work.
I think you're grasping.
He's embraced. Well, of course I'm grasping. I said in your ideal situation. I didn't say it's something that's going to happen or there's any chance in.
I don't think so. Like, I think we're making a lot out of this handshake line, and it's going to be status quo. Pete DeBoer.
Yeah, it'll probably be
off.
Very boring, and people will be shaking their hands, and some guys will hug, and some guys will just. I just want to get this over with and get the hell out of here. So
I'm sure that Logan Couture will have some really nice words for Gerard Gallant, and Gerard Gallant will compliment Logan Couture and his toughness. I'm sure that's going to happen.
What do you think about Colorado saying they don't care who they play in the next round? I mean, that's what you're going to say. Do you believe it?
I don't think they care. Honestly, I don't think that they do whatsoever. I you look at that team, they went up against the best team in the Western Conference and they smoked them in five games. I don't think that they care if it's the Golden Knights, if it's San Jose. They know they're starting on the road. It doesn't really matter.
And regular season means nothing. Because they were 2-1 against Vegas. They were 0-3 against San Jose.
I don't think that it really means anything. It's going to be matchups. And if you're Colorado, you like the way that you were playing. You know that you're a faster team than San Jose. I think speed is about equal with Vegas. But, you know, maybe you have questions about goaltending with Vegas, too, going into round two. Marc-Andre Fleury has been okay, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't stolen this series in the first round. So I don't know that it really matters to Colorado. If you play your game, you should win because that's what's gotten you here so far.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Shang Peng from Fear the Finn. Should it be Fear the Sensitive Finn now?
Sure.
Apparently they're very sensitive up there.
Why not?
All right. Game 7 tonight. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Search Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
You know, for that clown to say that to people yesterday, it's not right.
It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Harnish, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Jared Justice behind the board with us, filling in for Chris Chapman, who's up in San Jose. Once again, thanks to Subaru of Las Vegas for hooking that up so Chris could go up there and cover the games. And a guy who covered the Golden Knights last year has been up in the Bay Area for a little while now. You can catch him at Fear the Finn. Shang Peng joining us once again. And Shang, what is going on with the coaches here, man? All of a sudden, we have the coaches chirping back and forth.
What a series. This might remind of 1993 when Barry Melrose told Pat Burns that he should eat some donuts. This is an all-time series, and we're lucky to cover it.
All right, Shang, so we're going to put you on the clock here.
Yeah.
Because I know that you love having to squeeze in so much analysis into 2 minutes, so I think we're going to do that with you today. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Fear the Finn. Shang Peng, 2 minutes for instigating.
All right, Shang, give me one reason the Golden Knights win Game 7.
Nikita Gusev shows up.
You think Nikita Gusev is going to play tonight?
No. I doubt he'll play. I think, seriously, one thing that they want to do is they need to improve their transition attack. That's the one thing that they were not able to do in Game 6. I mean, they did everything else, right? They got 59 shots on Martin Jones, but they got to get a little more in transition. That's a big part of their game, and they were not able to do that against San Jose in Game 6.
Shang, there was a contingent of Vegas Golden Knights fans that felt like the Golden Knights, yes, they outshot the San Jose Sharks, but they weren't particularly dangerous shots. Do you share that opinion?
There's a little bit of that. I think it's clear that Vegas outplayed San Jose at 5-on-5 in Game 5. I think the Sharks would admit that. But it wasn't a 60, you know, it wasn't a 60-30. They weren't double better than the Sharks, you know, which is what the shot differential tells you, the shot counter tells you. They both teams had very dangerous chances. I think the high danger chance count was much closer. And so there's a little bit of that. But I think that if Vegas does a lot of what they did in Game 5 with a little more rush attack, they'll be fine.
You mentioned Martin Jones. Which Martin Jones will we get tonight, Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde?
I have no idea, and I got to tell you guys, I've been wrong about every game in this series except for Game 1. So so I think the Sharks will take it tonight, but I've been wrong every night.
Why do you think San Jose wins tonight?
I think for San Jose, I think a lot of what they need to do is they need to get in on the forecheck, number one. They were not able to do that very well in Game 5, credit to Vegas there. So they need to get in on the forecheck, and also, too, they need to break out more smoothly out of the back end, which they were able to do very successfully in Game 5, but not so much in Game 6.
Which goalie has a better save percentage at the end of the series?
I don't know what Fleury's is right now. Actually, I haven't been tracking that too closely. So I'm going to say that Fleury will end up with a better one, but the Sharks win tonight. But that actually, I'm not sure if that math is right or not, though. So.
All right, Shang. So we're going to keep you longer than 2 minutes. Sorry, I know you were contractually looking forward to just 2 minutes, but we're going to keep you a little bit longer.
No, I take it as you guys liking me more than Tyler does.
We absolutely like you more than Tyler does, but that's just because Tyler doesn't like anybody at all.
That's true.
And so you mentioned the transition, and that's what I saw in Game 6. I don't feel like the Golden Knights really stretched the ice. I don't remember a ton of odd man rushes, 2-on-1s, 3-on-2s, and that kind kind of stuff. That's when they've had success against San Jose. Are you noticing something differently in how San Jose is defending the Golden Knights, and how can Vegas break that if so?
Well, I think a big part of it is just having a Mark Edward Vlasic back, having a guy like that who is always going to be in the right place. Having a guy like that who can kind of help watch Brent Burns' back. So I think that's a big part of it. I also think that San Jose is definitely watching the middle very carefully. Besides not allowing transition chances, they also did not allow much in terms of the kind of chances that would make Martin Jones go side to side. Just for example, Joe Pavelski's defense on Patrick Reddy in period one, right? Patrick Reddy had a slam dunk there, right? But Pavelski is right there to lift the stick at the right moment. And so there's not a lot of that cross-ice stuff going on. And so I think that's a result of the Sharks watching the middle very carefully right now.
When it comes to this series, the team that has scored the first goal has won every game. Does that take effect again tonight? Is there a reason that that's happened, or has it just been kind of one of those weird things that seem to happen in this series?
I think that's probably just one of those weird things. I hope that we see a lead change tonight, just because the series has had everything else, right? We've had Kane and Reeves. We've had the coaches nipping at each other. So we need a lead change at some point.
Shang, on the topic of the coaches, where do you fall along this spectrum of, is this a good thing for one team over the other? Should the coaches just not really bring this to the media? Like, where do you fall along these lines?
I think it's one of those things that it kind of doesn't matter. I guess I don't have a strong opinion about it. I think that the guys, the players, are just going to play their game, right? And I think for the players, they probably just kind of laugh about this. And it's just a fun sideshow for them, too.
Do you think?
And I don't think it's really a distraction, really, to the actual stuff, you know, the game on the ice. I don't think that, you know, Reeves is going to take an extra penalty to defend a Gallant's honor, or Joe Pavelski is going to punch somebody in the face because because Gallant called somebody a clown, you know, like that kind of stuff. You know, like I don't think it affects much. I think Gallant wanted to defend his honor because it is not. You don't want to be a coach known as you don't want to be known as a coach who is chirping at players all the time, because that's not your job. And so I think it's all just part of the sideshow. All makes this fun.
How fun has this series been to cover? Just, I mean, we've got the Muffin Man, we've got the War of the Words between Kane and Reeves, the fight, the chirping of Joe Thornton. I mean, now the coaches are getting involved. This has been a lot wrapped up into a 7-game series.
This is incredible. I asked somebody today, is this the best trash talk series since I believe it was 96 Chicago, Colorado, when Patrick Wall said to Jeremy Roenick that I can't hear you because I have the Stanley Cup rings in my ears. This is a classic one. This is a classic one, and we've had enough trash talk really for entire, you know, 2 months of the playoffs. You know, not just one series, and it's been a lot of fun. And we hopefully we get a game seven that is worthy of this series. You know, hopefully Gusev plays, because that just adds to the drama, right?
You've mentioned a few times that it's been incredible and it's been a lot of fun. You've covered both of these coaches. Which one of these coaches is more fun for you to cover? And which coach that you haven't covered in your career do you think would be fun or interesting to work with on a semi-daily basis like you do in your business?
I would say that Turk and I had our battles last year, as everybody in Las Vegas knows. But I would say, though, that you know, the Boer in regular season, very even-handed. You know, we didn't have any blow-ups, but it was highly entertaining to work to work with Turk. So I'll give Gallant the fun edge. In terms of coaches that I'd like to cover, as you guys know, I'm a big nerd, and so I'd probably like to cover Maurice one day, because Maurice is one of those guys that will give you stuff about the X's and O's and stuff like that. And I, you know, saw that last year when I covered the Winnipeg-Vegas series. And so, to me, that's fun.
So, Shang, looking at this series, you talked about hoping that maybe Game 7 isn't a dud, that it kind of lives up to everything that has come before it in this series. Of course, in Game 6, at least on the scoreboard, we saw the closest game that we have seen so far in this series. Do you think that this is going to be a classic Game 7, a close Game 7? Might we see overtime? Or do you think one team is going to pull away and just end it emphatically?
I think there's a good chance that we will get one of these very tight game sevens. One thing that I've been asked is, you know, if Vegas loses, you know, whose fault is it? Or if San Jose loses, whose fault is it? And it's nobody, in the sense that, like, both teams are really good teams. Both teams are well matched. We're finally seeing a good goaltending from both sides. And so I think there's a good chance that we have a lot of push-pull tonight, a tight affair. And like I said, I hope we see a lead changer too, maybe some overtime, and a really highly entertaining a handshake line that may be even better than the series itself.
Might be must-watch TV, that's for sure. So when it comes to the next round against Colorado, from a fan standpoint, which is the better matchup to watch? Colorado-San Jose or Colorado-Vegas?
Colorado-Vegas or Colorado-San Jose?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I think with Colorado, they're still, I think, even though they were able to overcome Calgary, I still find them to be a one-line team. And I may eat those words, you know, when Colorado upsets whoever they play in the next round. But I would like to see the matchup of Colorado's top line versus, say, a healthy Erik Karlsson or a Vlasic Burns kind of shutdown pair. So I think that, in terms of just the watchability, would get my interest.
All right, Chang, you mentioned the handshake line. And before we went to you, we were talking to Chris Chapman, and Frank asked me what I wanted to see, what one thing I want to see in the handshake line tonight. And then Frank mentioned that he really wants to see Ryan Reeves deliver a muffin to Evander Kane in the handshake line. So what do you want to see? Shang Pang, handshake line, put a bow on this series. What do you want to see?
I want to see some casino right now put odds on a Gallant punching DeBoer handshake line. Not that I want to see that. I like Pete, but... I think that the odds are that are possible, at least, you know, 100-1, you know, or maybe Turk will give a body check to Pete.
And see, that's what I told Ryan back in the office, and then I didn't go with it here. I decided to change it because we figured, well, it's probably not going to turn into slap shot, but I think that'd be awesome. Old time hockey.
You know what? No, Coach punching another coach. I don't know if that's old time hockey. So that would be unprecedented.
I mean, one thing is for sure, right? Like, Gerard Gallant is going to pull Logan Couture aside and compliment him on his toughness.
You know, that's funny. You know, you read the fans back and forth about this series. You know, they're crying about Logan diving. They're crying about Marchessault, you know, yapping. Man, these are all players that if they're on your team, you'd love them. Vegas fans would love Evander Kane if he was on their team. San Jose fans would love Ryan Reeves if he was on their team. Same thing with Marchessault and Couture. And so this is just all part of the action, you know. Like I think in the last game, I think the call that the Melker Carlson goalie interference on Fleury. I think there's a good chance that Fleury sold it a little bit. But you know what? Good on him. That's what you're supposed to be doing. And I think all this just makes for great entertainment. There's been nothing like. Besides, I guess, what the coaches are saying to each other, nothing that has been just like over the line or terrible. It's just great entertainment, and we're just all lucky to be a part of this. I don't think any series can get any better than this for the rest of the playoffs, I got to say.
With all the sideshow antics that have happened here, is any of this bulletin board material, or is the fact that it's a Game 7, is that enough that you don't need any bulletin board material? Because I know Marchessault also just basically came out and said that the Sharks, with all the complaining that they're doing, are maybe a little bit sensitive. So
there's so much, right? Like the bulletin board would look like a Tolstoy novel with all the stuff that's been going out in the series. I mean, think about Tommy Hertl basically guaranteeing, you know, I know that English is a second language, but guaranteeing a Game 7 and saying our team is better than theirs. We haven't even talked about that. That's how good this series has been.
Is there any chance that we don't get this for like the next 3 years. Because I like, you can sign me up for seven games between San Jose and Vegas every single year for the next 3 years, and I wouldn't have any complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, you know, that's, in my opinion, kind of the unfortunate thing about the NHL. You know, overall, the NHL is a button-down league. And so this may be kind of a once-in-our-lifetime or once-every-decade kind of series, just in terms of this back and forth. This is, you know, kind of like a normal NBA series, I guess. And this is an extraordinary NHL series. And I wish that it was that the NHL was a little more free-flowing with the talk. But yeah, it isn't right.
No, well, Shang, it's always a pleasure listening to you and talking with you. Check out Shang's stuff at Fear the Fin. And you know, the only bad thing about this being a game seven tonight is that wraps up the series. But if Vegas wins, you're still welcome to come on and as we talk about the Colorado series as well, because we know you know your hockey outside of San Jose.
Yeah, that sounds great, guys.
All right, thanks, Shang.
All right, thanks a lot, Shang. Right,
thank you.
Always a fun interview and a great guy. Fear the Fin, check out all of his stuff. All right, when we come back, we're going to wrap it up. Once again, you can join us tonight at Lindo Michoacan and Desert Inn, just east of Eastern. Recently, NHL players were asked which celebrity they most likely represented, or people tell them who they look like. Marc-Andre Fleury answered. I'm going to ask Ryan and Jared who they think Marc-Andre Fleury, his celebrity double or celebrity lookalike, would be, and then we'll play the soundbite of who Marc-Andre Fleury thinks he looks like. Back to wrap it up. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
This is Keegan Kolesar, and you are listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas.
It's the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show wrapping it up. Game 7 tonight. Golden Knights and the San Jose Sharks. Marc-Andre Fleury, we know he's going to be in net for Vegas once again. Recently, they asked a bunch of hockey players what celebrity they thought they most resembled or most resembled them, however you want to look at it. Marc-Andre Fleury was one of those people that answered. Who do you guys think? Can you think of a celebrity that you think would be the celebrity double of Marc-Andre Fleury?
So I've got two.
Okay.
You know, I'm a dad. You know, I've got small children. So first one that came to mind, only when Fleury is clean shaven and has a backwards hat on.
Okay.
He looks like Caillou.
Whoever
just
that
so
is.
So rude.
No, it's not.
So rude.
Caillou's awesome.
No one thinks that.
I have no idea who that
no
is.
Parents,
but okay.
And then the other one is Kim Coates from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
That one I think is...
And Goon,
actually
and
good.
Goon too.
Yeah, that too, yeah. So. Kim Coates, tie-in.
Adrian Brody.
That's a stock answer.
Yeah, it's
chalk. What a joke.
Okay, well, Marc-Andre Fleury would ask...
Hold on.
Who do you think he looks like? I don't really know.
No,
I'm a little jaded because I heard his answer, and I'm not going to go with that, so...
So pick something else.
I can't think of somebody that he looks like. I mean, I wouldn't know how to answer. Again, I was twisted in it because I heard...
Who plays Ant-Man?
Paul Rudd.
Just say Paul Rudd.
Okay,
all you have to
Paul
do
Rudd.
Is Paul Rudd.
Fine.
There he doesn't look anything like Paul Rudd.
Exactly.
All right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because I really don't know. But when I heard his thing and then I saw the pictures, I thought, well, maybe I could see it a little. Anyhow, here's who Marc-Andre Fleury says he thinks he looks like.
Maybe I've had Adam Sandler's before. Maybe I've had Adam Sandler's before.
Adam Sandler. He thinks he looks like Adam Sandler.
Thank you.
Now,
for,
I saw those
thank
pictures.
Thank you for clarifying that.
That's why I played
times.
It three times in a row there. But and I kind of looked at that, and I didn't really see that either, but it threw me off because I couldn't think of somebody that I necessarily thought he looked like. But I'm really bad on my celebrity guessing games these days.
It's not like there's anything going on tonight. Why don't you do a little homework today into the evening? Come with it tomorrow. Who does Marc-Andre Fleury look like?
Well, hopefully he looks like the winning goaltender of the Vegas Golden Knights' first Game 7 in their history. By the way, what about the other game real quick? Toronto-Boston, who wins?
I think conventional wisdom would tell you that the only way for this series to end in justice is that Boston takes a 3-goal lead into the third period and Toronto beats them. That's it. That's the only way that this series can end.
All right, well,
it's Toronto's time.
I like how you snuck the justice in there and tribute to Jared running our board for us today, too. So very nice of you. All right, that's going to do it for us. You can join us tonight at Lindo MichoCon. 6:30 pregame. We'll turn it over to Dan and Gary for puck drop a little after 7. Thanks for listening. T.C. Martin, the doctor's next. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Vegas Golden Knights hockey. Enjoy Game 7.